for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician. Addiction, blah, 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 blah. Oh, man. Hey, Drew, you sitting down?
I'm sitting down.
Trouble in the Middle East.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
It's been so quiet.
Oh, I know. Such a utopia over there. I guess they blew up the leader of Hamas. He was already in a wheelchair.
He was?
Well,
oh, my God.
The point is, it's now, according to Palestine, game on. Oh, so look out.
But before?
They carved themselves out a little utopia. So, cancel the vacation plans, Drew.
To Jerusalem?
Yeah. I was going to go to Crete this summer. I'm scrapping those plans now. Trouble in the Middle East. But here's the thing. Can't judge. Cannot judge. They're the same. They're the same as any European nation. Same as us. The same. Can't judge. Can't judge. They're great, and we cannot judge. And by the way, watch Saturday Night Live from like 1978, watch the news. Watch Chevy Chase and Jane Curtin do the news. Trouble in the Middle East. Watch the news from about 30 years ago, everybody.
Same thing.
It usually starts off a little trouble in the Middle East. It's not the people, though. Here's a couple things I've learned. It's not the people. It's never the people.
Can't judge.
Everyone's the same. Everyone's just as good as everyone else. And number two, we cannot judge. There's no judging. Drew, are you judging?
Never.
Don't judge. Mm-mm. It could just as easily be Denmark and Sweden going at it. Just as easily. You cannot judge. You understand? Could be us in Canada.
They had their time, by the way.
I'm sure 1,000 years ago. Here's the point. Cannot judge.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they'll have
how do we solve the problem?
They'll have it all ironed out.
You tell us. You want me to tell?
Okay. You want to know how it goes?
Yeah.
Here's how it goes. Palestine is like a roommate that you've woken up a couple of times, and he's been standing over your bed masturbating with a butcher knife.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's what Palestine is.
Yeah.
Palestine's that roommate.
What's Israel?
Israel is the roommate that sleeps and wakes up and sees a guy's beating off, holding the knife.
Right.
Now, Israel is saying, hey, I'm not moving. I put the cleaning deposit down. That's my cleaning deposit. This is my apartment. I let you stay here, and now you think I'm going to move? Here's what Israel has to do. You're going to get stabbed while you're asleep, and then effed. Move out. Just move out.
Just get out.
Who cares? They got their own sort of retarded religion. I mean, let's face it. It's two retarded religions. It's Clash of the Tards.
Where's Israel move? Apartment up the street?
No. You know my feeling. Baja. Plenty open land there. And God knows the Mexicans could use a couple Jews to get that economy back on its feet. See what I'm saying? Yeah. Well, look at... You know, Mexico needs Jews. If you really think about, like, the one thing they're missing... It's Jews. They need a dusting of Jews. Do you know what I'm saying? Think about Mexico.
Yeah.
Really think about its strengths. Think about its weaknesses. Just said that, Drew. Stop.
Pretend you're not on the radio. If there's any group you haven't offended in all this.
Pretend you're not on the radio.
I'm pretending.
Think about Mexico's strengths and weaknesses.
Yes.
Huh? Mm. A little dusting of Jew. You know, as soon as this mic shuts off, you know I'm right. All right. I'm saying. Look, here's what it is. Palestinians got their own retarded religion. The Jews got their own retarded religion. And they're just going to beat each other's brains out for a few thousand years.
Jesus.
It's good times. But here's the point. Palestinians, that part of the world, they want to go at it.
Yeah.
So there's no... doesn't matter. There's concessions, whatever. And they talk about, here's what we need, here's what we need, here's what we need. But whatever you give them, if someone wants to fight, they want to fight.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
Right, they want to fight. Obviously, they want to fight, or they wouldn't be fighting.
Hmm.
Yeah? All right. It's going to work itself out. The point is, great folks, great, great, delightful people, a beautiful breed, and we cannot judge. We cannot judge. It's everyone is the same. Just never forget that we can never judge. Priscilla?
Yes?
You're 17?
Yes.
Yeah, it's just a matter of days before those kids are back up on their feet.
I just wonder where, no, where this is all going.
Wait, hold on a second. Where's it going? Nowhere.
Yeah, but it's getting worse. It's spreading.
You want to see where it's going? Go back to 1974. See where it's going.
I'm going back to 1610.
No, it's just a bunch of people living a big dirt ashtray killing each other. It's just going to never end. It's not going to end. It just keep going. They're just stupid enough to dance. That's all. Again, we can't judge. Religion, it's a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful, positive, beautiful, positive, wonderful thing.
It's never accounted for any misery
no,
human beings.
No, no. And, you know, if we didn't have the religion, you know, imagine what kind of place this world would be living in. You know, us atheists, you know, I'd just go home and stab my wife when they're asleep and have a ritualistic, you know, paint helter-skelter with the blood on the mirror. You know, I'm an atheist. I can do whatever I want. There's nothing to stop me from killing.
Slippery slope.
Who's to say what's right and what's wrong when you're an atheist? I love that retarded argument that the religious folks have with the atheists. Hey, everyone said, hey, what's to stop you? What's to stop you from just killing your wife? What's to stop you from sacrificing your kid? Who's to say? Well, it's empirically wrong. Who's to say? What do you mean, who's to say, you retard? You need some guy in sandals and a beard telling you everything? I say it, you idiot. Jesus Christ. Look, people don't kill their young. That's the command of nature for the most part.
Well, no, I think that was innate in us at one time. Something like that was in us. That's why every Abrahamic religion is about fathers being killed by sons. Sons could be killed by fathers.
Look, here's
sons,
here,
brothers
here's,
killing brothers.
Here's, you want to know what the world would be like if there was atheists and how it would spin off its axis and there'd just be murder and anarchy. Go down to death row. See what percentage of atheists you got on death row. Picture an atheist. Now picture the guys on death row. Atheists? Nope. Shocking. How come everyone behind bars for violent crimes, how come they're not all just exclusively atheists? I'm using your logic, right? They should all just be atheists. They have no God. No one judges. No one to judge them. They're free to do as they will. Yeah? Doesn't work that way. Here's the bottom line. Atheists are smarter people. They're more evolved people. They don't do those sorts of things because they're more evolved, higher intelligence. Let's face it. Religious people are dumber. And these people in the Middle East are, you know, caveman dumb. I mean, they're, you know, thousands of generations from an evolutionary standpoint behind dumb. Let's face it. Please,
Priscilla.
How come no one talks about this? Priscilla?
Yes?
You got another call coming in?
Yeah, I do.
All right. You want to take that?
Yeah, hold on.
Eight All right, hang on a second.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
Four.
Yeah,
huh?
Four.
Huh? Four?
Mm-hmm. Ron?
Yeah.
What's happening?
How's it going?
Good. What's going on?
Not a whole lot, buddy. I got a question for you.
All right, buddy. What's up?
This is for Kimball. Hey, what is your whole beef with junior colleges?
Waste of everyone's time.
Well, not like that. Ron is making the point vividly for us here about junior colleges.
Hey.
Do you smell something burning?
I mean,
There's something burning here, guys. Hold on a second.
Yeah, that's Ron's brain cells.
And by the way, the lights flickered on and off in here too. Around the.
All right. Well, listen, we got a small electrical fire going in the studio here, Drew. Come on, buddy. Don't worry about it. Hold on a second. It's too bad Westwood One's not on fire.
Oh, it really is.
Remember that it was like 8 years I was there, I was praying that dump would burn down. Remember that?
Yeah.
Now we're in a nice studio and it's burning.
What is that?
All right. Don't worry.
What?
Engineer Chris is on it.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't.
Yeah, we're cool.
What's the smell about?
Well, listen. Here's the thing. It smells synthetic.
It smells
by
like
the way, there's not a thing in the studio that's not made of plastic or some sort of DuPont fire something, right?
But I mean, look, it's hazy.
This place would melt faster than it burned.
Yeah.
All right. So we're getting five kinds of brain cancer sitting
that's
here.
That's what I'm talking about.
It's all good. Yeah. As you know, I have environmental allergies.
Molds.
Yeah, killer molds. And then the fibers in the synthetic carpets also.
Yeah.
Those are another set of nut jobs we need to get rid of, by the way. Drew, don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. I can barely breathe.
It's a little hazy in here. It is
hazy, yeah.
Something is obviously burning. I'm going to go with electrical fire.
I would agree with you.
Yeah.
Do you smell that?
Producer Ann is
crazy,
in here.
Yeah.
She's brought her nose.
Look how hazy it is in here.
You can see smoke. Well, Chris is on it. Chris, what do you got, buddy? Chris went out, took a leak, and he came back. He forgot why he left.
We're going to call the engineer.
So engineer. Call
how about
the
fire department?
Oh, please.
No, we're not on fire.
Scott Mason.
Not on fire. It's smoke. I can't breathe.
You can breathe. Come on. Look at your hypochondriac.
Breathe, I'm saying.
Let's go. Just turn the air on. Let's suck it up. Yeah, we're cool. It's no problems. All right, Ron over here was saying something.
He was proving the point about the JC. He's making it.
Yeah, I think he's just stoned and wanting to talk.
Well, yeah, and?
Ron?
Yeah.
All right, so you want to know why I bag on junior colleges?
Yeah. What's the deal?
All right. I'll put Ron on the phone because it's like I can hear him thinking. He thinks a lot. Okay, here's the thing about junior colleges. A good concept, but not really if you think about it. It's really a place. It's purgatory for bad high school students who don't want to get jobs. Mm-hmm. And Drew doesn't want to pass judgment because Drew was one of these chosen one types, silver spoon types, went to a nice college. I went to junior college along with a lot of my loser friends. I know what this is. This is you're a horrible student in high school, and all of a sudden, you now have a place you can go where it's like high school. They don't take attendance. No one calls your folks when you don't show up. You just kill time there.
Right.
It's made
for... Well, it was supposed to be for adults, right?
Here's what it's made for. Junior college is made for people who come from other countries to this country who want to either learn English as a second language or continue their education or get certified in this country and whatever they were certified in their country.
Yep.
People who are serious, not slacker dropout losers who are stoners in high school, are going to continue their crappy student ways. Yeah. You guys should be going to work or joining the military.
Yeah.
There's a reason you're not in college. It's because you're a bad student.
Right.
All right. And nurses.
Nursing is good.
Yeah,
junior
nursing
has good nursing training.
I don't know that.
Yes, they do.
Okay. Here's all I know. If you want to enter some sort of program that takes a year or two, it's just a fast track program for something, fine. You just go in there, playing a little hacky sack, a little co-ed this, and taking a little general that, you'll just be floating around for 6 years before your stepmom boots you out of the garage. That's basically how it works.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Waste of time. Meanwhile, we're subsidizing it, and everyone looks at it as something noble. Where are you going? Oh, you're continuing your education. What do you continue, stoner? You got stoned your senior year. You never did anything. That's why you're going there. Right. So there's a big pack of losers. And by the way, they just sit around and plot against a man.
Yeah.
Everyone there is angry. They're all cast-offs. They're all losers. No one can make it. The faculties are losers. The students are losers.
Therefore, it must have nothing to do with their responsibility in the whole situation.
Yeah, everyone just sits there and complains about the government.
Okay.
That's basically, unless it's a democratic government in there, in which they just sit there and complain about their family. Priscilla?
Yes?
And then you get people like my mom who go to the goddamn choir practice there. They've been there for 30 years. And then I got to go to all the stupid choir shows and the bake sales and that's the things. And
oh, my God. Your life is miserable.
Priscilla?
I'm so sorry.
Thank you.
Priscilla?
Yeah.
Just go ahead. Go ahead.
You know,
we've tried four times to start with Priscilla.
Once a month, I try to take a sip of water.
Yes.
And it never works.
Right.
Because it's me going, caller, go ahead. And then I lean back and take a sip of water, I hear dead air for a good five count, and I got to spit my water out and lean forward. Really?
Yeah.
That's it? Continuously move my mouth or nothing will happen?
Don't be afraid of dead air.
I just want to take a sip of goddamn water.
Priscilla.
Yeah.
All right, I'm done with you. Get out of here. Screwball, their stupid phone. Megan?
Yeah?
Priscilla, hang up if you're listening. I'm done with you. Megan, go ahead. What's up?
I was just sent to a short-term mental ward, I guess you could call it.
Hang on one second, Megan. Priscilla, her question was her belly button ring is still red and irritated.
Oh,
after
1 year,
and the fact is that's a ring that's rejecting, so you got to take it out. It's never going to get better.
Good.
You're having a rejection reaction. Megan, so you were in a hospital, psychiatric hospital.
Yeah, I'm trying to commit suicide, but I had carved on my arm. I guess that's part of the reason why I was there, and for drug abuse and anger. So.
And you don't think that's a reason to be put in a hospital?
No, I do, but I don't think that I should have been sent there because I didn't really do anything.
Other than cutting on yourself and doing drugs.
Well, you're not being sent there as punishment. You're being sent there because you're very self-destructive.
Yeah, the things you were doing are very dangerous and a sign of severe, severe emotional distress. What do you think the hospitals are for?
Well, no, I know that they had a good cause, but I seriously don't think I had depression because it was only like a one-time thing.
All right. Well, look, Megan, you're 13, so you don't know anything. So what do you want?
I just wanted, every day they make you talk to a psychiatrist person, you know, and I guess I was diagnosed with depression, so they put me on antidepressants, but I'm really against using those.
Why?
I don't know. I just don't believe in using it.
All right. Well, look, you don't have well-formed thoughts. You're not supposed to. Here's the thing, Megan. You got a lot of energy, but you don't have a lot of reason. You know, you're against this. You don't believe in that.
Just
you think you're in unjustly that. And then when someone says why, you say just because. It's because you're 13, and that's fine. You're in the 7th grade. You're not supposed to have
Actually,
any.
Actually, I'm in the 8th, but, you know.
Oh, all right. Well,
way off, Adam.
I'm
way
sorry,
off. How dare you? Way off.
I made a mistake. Anyway, I'm sorry. What's your question? Look, I'm a big enough man to admit when I'm wrong.
Have
bro.
You stopped the anger outbursts?
Yeah, actually, I have.
Have you stopped cutting on yourself?
Yeah.
Have you continued taking the Celexa?
Yeah.
Hang on, Megan. Don't you see a correlation there between the treatment you received?
I haven't been on the pills very long.
All right.
And how long have you been stopping these behaviors?
Actually, I just got out last week.
Okay.
Last
now,
Tuesday,
what I can tell you is, stopping your treatment, you'll go right back where you started from,
mm-hmm.
because there's nothing to take you out of that state. You were in a really very severe situation that has life threatening implications. It's not up to you really to decide what you should and shouldn't be doing at that point. You should if you wanted to engage in some other form of treatment, that's fine. Maybe see a therapist and let somebody else take you off, not you make decisions about that.
I think I think Magnus needs to break it down. Let's go, Megan. Let's go. Break it down now. Grab a knee. Don't sit on your helmet. It's not a chair, Drew. That helmet's not a chair. Now break down. Now get a hand in. Let's go now. Now take those meds now. Take that Celexa. You listen to your psychiatrist. You know what I'm saying? Come on. People love you, baby. Let's go now. Get a hand in, all right? Let's go now. You're 13. You ain't that smart. You're a fool of yourself. Stop watching that goddamn cable. Pick up the Bible. Yeah. All right. Take the meds. Looking good. Looking good. All right.
There are alternative treatments.
Yeah.
But don't not get treated because the symptoms you were having suggest really severe and potentially life-threatening problems.
Yeah. Let's talk to Mike. Mike's 18. Let's go, Mike. Let's get a hand in now.
Hey.
Let's break it down now.
All right. Yeah, I have a question.
Yeah.
This girl
girlfriend
wants
to... has herpes. Oral or vaginal now. Get a hand in.
All right. This girl I want to get with now, she has...
Oral or vaginal. Get a hand in.
All right. This girl I want to get with now, she has...
Oral or vaginal. Get a hand in now.
She has herpes.
Which is it? Which is it, Mike?
She has herpes.
Oral or vaginal? Let's get a hand and break it down.
Which
that
is it?
That helmet's vaginal. Not a chair, gentlemen. Grab a knee now.
Which vaginal. Is it, Mike? Vaginal herpes.
Vaginal. Only took 9 times before he said it. First, nothing. The first 11, nothing. The 12th
yeah,
like, one.
Yeah, so.
The 12th one, herpes. All right, nervous, not smart, not listening. Potential junior college. Just go. Let's get a hand in now. What's happening now, Mike?
All right, I have a question. This girl I'm going to get with.
Got an inquiry.
She has herpes.
Herpes now. There's a revelation now. Get a hand in. Oral or vaginal?
Vaginal.
Okay.
Vaginal herpes. Moving in the right direction. Slowly, but moving.
Okay, I want to know if I can actually get with her. So. I mean, I've had sex before, but not with anybody who has herpes.
Had intercourse, not an infected victim.
Are you sure?
What do you say, Drew? Put the condom on.
Still
not 100%.
Still not 100%.
Scrotal herpes. Get
definitely,
a hand in.
Definitely don't want to be screwing with her when she has an outbreak.
Okay.
No sexy on the outbreaky. Helmet's not a chair.
How do I
how about
know
what?
That?
How do you know that? You don't know that.
Gotta
part of the problem.
Take a word for it.
So
and
I
sometimes,
not get with her?
What?
Should I not get with her then?
We can't answer these
no
questions.
No one said not to get with her.
I just said that you can't. There's no foolproof way to prevent the transmission. And if you
no
have
guarantees,
sex with her,
death and taxes. Only guarantees.
During an outbreak, even with a condom, you will probably get it.
Okay.
And sometimes bringing it, what did you call it the other night when you bring in some new material, you know, re-exposure. You know,
can't remember. Drink after each show. Erase head like Etch-a-Sketch. Yeah.
That sometimes when a person is exposed to someone who has herpes, this sort of causes an outbreak, and then you get it.
Okay.
So there you go.
So even though if I use a condom, then there's no way I can get it, right?
Mike, what did we just waste all of our time saying?
Here's the thing. Have sex with her, use a condom, and do it when she's not having an outbreak. Yeah. And that's going to be your best chance,
right? If you're
going
to have sex with her, yeah.
You smell JC? No.
Smell
work.
Yeah.
Mike, are you working?
Yeah.
Where are you working?
Albertson.
Good man. What are you doing some night stalking?
I just do the, right now I'm cash register.
Right now.
Well, you work in the register.
Yeah.
That's pretty good work, right?
Yeah.
No, he's not. Are you 18? No way.
I know. What's up?
He's bagging.
You're bagging, right?
No.
You're actually working the scanner?
Uh-huh.
His phones. We didn't hear anything. All right. Whatever he said.
Is that great? They got good unions.
Imagine. Yeah, well, we just saw a big old...
We had a big strike down here. Yeah. When I was probably out of high school, I tried a few times to get a few. That was that thing. That was a dream
gig,
by the way. The
night stalking job was the one, yeah.
Or just any supermarket gig was like, well, you start off at like $7.75 an hour, and then you join the union, and I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
But you got to understand, for the Corollas,
that was huge.
I was looking for dental insurance and $10 an hour. I mean, like the union stuff, like, oh. I used to hear about that. I never was in any unions, but I used to hear about that union stuff, like, whatever, working, building sets or carpentry or baggers or whatever. It's like $21.75 an hour, and then you get golden time after, you get time and a half after, and then you get two paid weeks a year, and then you got a dental and medical. And it was like, oh, my God.
How does that happen?
Oh, my God. I get $11 an hour, and they take taxes. How do I get no benefits? You know, like, oh, it's like... It was crazy talk.
Yeah,
the guys who were in unions were like celebrities.
Yeah.
All right, hey, good times. Now, literally a millionaire. Literally.
And no union.
Yeah.
Break it down.
Wait a minute. I think I'm in a union.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
By the way, it's the union that gets mad at me for talking smack about them and not being loyal. It's like, it's like the SLA being mad at Patty Hearst for not being loyal. It's like they kidnap you, they rape you, they take your money, they force you into the trunk of the car of their union, and then they're like, how dare you speak disparagingly? Disparagingly against us. It's like, I don't want to join your crappy union. Yeah, it's great. It's run by a bunch of
dental work.
Well, think about the actors. Oh, just a bunch of, okay. All right. Let's move forward here.
Yes,
Drew.
Move on. There we go. You've offended every major group of,
screw all of you. That's all I'm saying.
Don't leave anybody out, Adam.
That's what I'm saying.
Everybody.
SAG, AFTRA. What are we in for the radio?
AFTRA.
It's extortion, everybody. It costs like a few $1,000s. They just take it out of your paycheck. And then they're like, hey, how about supporting your union? SAG does this. They all do it. And they send you stuff like, hey, we're voting. Hey, the guy from Highway to Heaven is running against a Melissa Sue Gilbert this year for treasurer. Who gives a rat's ass? I didn't want to join your crappy union. You forced all of us, you extortionists. Please. And then it's like, he went on Kilborn and said bad things about us. Shut up, you pussies. Nobody wanted to. How many people would join your crappy union if we had a choice? Please. Just out-of-work commercial actors who suck. Thank you.
It's not that bad as unions go. Think of what they do.
Okay. Right. Good health coverage.
Yeah.
I will take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's the Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Who's the engineer over at Westwood 2?
Ken.
Is it Ken?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Mr. Excitement. Doesn't sound like Ken. Oh, okay.
There you go.
All right, Ken. Well, let's ratchet it up a notch, would you, Ken? Come on, let's go. Let's break it down, buddy. Because let me tell you something. When I get that 3-2-1, that's how I come out of the gates.
Yes.
And when I get the 3-2-1, you're off! then I come out like gangbusters. Yes?
Always.
All right. Ken potted me down a long time. I was done listening.
Yeah, he's...
All right. All right, buddy. All right, that's good. That's just one. That's one. And I want you to point, even though I'm not there. I want you to see a point, all right?
There it goes. He did. Yeah, right. Saw it. Right. Saw it.
Now,
I felt it.
I got Brian over there. He tells me when people point, and more importantly, when people don't point.
Of course.
All right. We got to move forward with these calls, Drew.
Yes.
Did I tell you about my plan, though?
Which one? For Drew, for Middle East?
I had a plan. I'm done with the Middle East. I'm letting those retards just fight it out till they're all gone. It'd be great. Then we make a giant ashtray, make a giant cat box out of the entire place. Here's the thing. Great people, though. Can't blame the people. Bad government. And we can't judge. Great ideas. Huge, great ideas. Wonderful. Anyway, just incredible religion. We can't judge. Beautiful, wonderful. Here's the point. God bless them. They're going to do great. Those kids are going to land on their feet. Another 100 years, they'll be fine. driving home in traffic from LAX yesterday, sitting in traffic about 3:30, 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
LA
on
now.
Sunday, right?
Sunday, yeah. Sunday's traffic time, too. So it's now traffic time all the time.
Yeah.
I've realized.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know what goes on in Los Angeles that we didn't do the math on the massive influx of illegal aliens and or other people just coming from other parts of the country into this country, the massive growth in this, and how we've not done anything but fill occasional pothole or two and lay down a couple of miles of subway in the last 25 years. I don't know who's to blame for any of this stuff, but it just seems like we got too many tards in there that are worried. You know, we got these Maxine Waters types of the world that are worried about getting freeway off ramps a name for ex-black leaders, and not so much into mass transit stuff. Or I don't know what they have, their own like retarded agenda. Whatever it is, it doesn't seem to be realistic. And as you know, I have many ingenious and valid plans. Here's my newest. Everyone's complaining about the price of gas going up.
Yes.
Everyone is outraged how it's, oh, my God, it's $2.35 a gallon. Okay, here's my move. Kick it up to $5. Now listen. Gas, $5 a gallon. Here's what we need to do. Here's what, and tell me if you disagree, Drew. Now, actually, shut your hole if you disagree. All right. Just keep nodding. We need to thin the herd out on the highway a little.
Oh, I see.
Few too many folks driving around with no license, no insurance, and cars that got the four belts showing on all four tires. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Breaking down, unsafe, unskilled, undocumented, uninsured. And these are the guys that are overheating in the fast lane come rush hour and bottlenecking the whole goddamn freeway. Pump it up to $5 an hour. Now, here's my deal with all the folks that can't pay $5 an hour. Good. That's going to cut a certain percentage of riffraff off the road. That extra $2.50 a gallon, all going into mass transit. It's all going into buses. It's all going into monorails. It's all going into everything. And
how about alternative energy sources?
It's going into everything transportation but cars.
Yeah.
It's not gonna be widening freeways. We're not gonna be building more freeways. We're not gonna be doing double deckers. It's just we're gonna take 30% of the people that are on the road now, we're going to pull them off the road. We're going to put them in effective transportation, mass transportation, and we're going to subsidize them. That extra $2.50 I'm paying a gallon, going right toward your free bus pass, going right toward your van pool,
awesome.
Going right toward all of it. There it is. Then, look, if you want to drive,
Utopia,
and I'm one of the people that, you know, you and I, we may have to drive because we work at a different hour. We work at a different place. Let's say. You'd have to drive in.
Yeah.
Okay, here's the deal.
We've got penalty.
When you drive in tonight, your car gets, 19 miles a gallon. The way you drive it, it gets 4.5 miles a gallon. You 22 miles from whatever. It's going to cost you $6 a round trip extra, whatever, to get in and get back, and that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
So be it. Now, if you decide, well, I don't want to pay that, then you're free to take the bus, which is an effective, viable, or the monorail, or whatever this huge surplus is going into. The more you drive, the more you subsidize the guy who ain't driving, who's leaving his car at home, who's taking the bus. And by the way, you a-holes who want to drive your Hummers around, you're really going to be doing some subsidizing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there it is.
Good.
Yeah. Any problems?
Perfect.
There you go. You want to drive?
Utopia.
Would you pay? And Drew, I know the answer to this is you're driving from your house to Santa Monica. It's going to cost you an extra $7.
Yep.
You'd get there an hour earlier, and you'd be that much more productive. The people who need to be that much more productive will be that much more productive. Yes?
And you'll be given back.
And we'll not be gridlocking. Yes?
Good times.
We cool?
Yeah.
Stop air pollution.
Utopia.
Cut down.
Utopia.
Cut down congestion, air pollution.
Utopia.
Yes?
Utopia.
Okay. Hit. What? That's it?
There we go.
All right. I thought of it. We're done. Are we done? No. It's never going to happen. That's just Maxine Waters just going to argue until she's blue in the face with some other blowhard, loudmouth quack that's in government and nothing ever happened. Fantastic. All right. Aaron?
Yeah?
You're 18?
Uh-huh.
What's up, baby doll?
Well, I found out today that I'm pregnant.
Oh,
and
boy.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to keep it or anything, but
okay.
I was wondering if there's, rather than getting, like, a medical abortion, if there was any sort of, like, because I've heard that you can drink teas or something like that that will actually induce a miscarriage.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think the difference is between a miscarriage and an abortion?
You have to put crushed glass in the tea.
Yeah. Difference between a miscarriage and abortion.
The difference?
Yeah.
I don't think there's that much of a difference.
No, there's no difference. There's no difference.
Yeah, I don't want to go get the whole, like...
And don't you think that if there were ways to induce an abortion that...
Through tea
or through magic or through spells...
what can't tea do?
Don't you think that would be everyone that...
tea can heal PMS and it can abort.
Right.
And talk about range.
Right. And treat your depression.
Talk about a rangy beverage.
Prevent strokes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
Oh, things. It's, you know, wow, you know, it's that, it's the wisdom of the middle of the East.
And don't you think, Aaron, if there was some tea you could drink that would induce a miscarriage or abortion, doctors would just use that? Why would they want to use a medication if it's not necessary?
Yeah. How about the fact that you probably wouldn't be able to buy it because there'd be a lawsuit
it's an abortion.
The second somebody,
yeah. Right.
Somebody aborted without wanting to abort.
So, Aaron.
No.
Of course not.
Okay.
Of
right.
course not.
So, what do you want to do? You're sure you're month pregnant?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Pretty sure. Okay.
All right. Well, how about you go down to Planned Parenthood and see what's up?
Oh, yeah. I was going to do that anyways, but...
All right. Good. There you go. It'll be fine. All right. Good luck.
All right. Good times. You got to be more careful.
Think about adoption, too. It's another possibility.
No. Drew, my $5 a gallon thing. Utopia?
Utopia.
Gets 30% of the people off the road.
Mm.
We don't need them all off. We got to knock about 20, 25, 30%
off. You could really be sophisticated about it. Get a bond first. To build it all out before you jack the prices up so everything's in place.
Yeah.
And pow. Have a start date. Pow.
Yeah. And look at it this way.
Pay the bond back. Pay it off in like 2 months.
Let me say this too. A lot of the people in this city that should be focusing on saving money for a down payment, that should be buying a house or whatever, they're making a $600, $700, $800 a month car payment. Then if you're talking about insurance... Then if you're talking about gas and stuff on top of that.
And lottery tickets at the gas station.
You got to buy those lottery tickets.
Yeah.
You could be talking about $1,000 a month that should be going toward getting yourself a condo, house, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I'll tell you, I got to run for something, Drew.
It'd be good times.
Jill?
Oh, my God. Am I on?
Yes, you are.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. I don't really have a problem, but I'd like to tell you guys that I'm obsessed with both of you.
Both
I've been listening to the show for like a year, and I've like been trying to call for like the past month, but I never got through. I love you guys so much, and I've
thanks,
always
baby,
been trying to get on. So,
well, Jill, how you doing? Everything good?
Right now, yeah.
School, everything going okay? You're 8th grade.
What?
You're in 8th grade.
Oh, I'm in 7th grade.
7th grade.
See, we had a 13-year-old earlier. Drew always thinks they're older, and I always think they're younger. But we can always – the one consistent thing is we're both always wrong.
Yeah, we're both always off.
We had a 13-year-old. I said 7. She was in 8. Now we got a 13-year-old. You say 8. She's in 7.
There you go. But, Jill, where are you living?
I'm in Evansville, Indiana.
Evansville.
Beautiful country. Salt of the earth over there.
Fantastic. Were you ever out in Los Angeles?
No.
Good.
Well, if
don't
you ever
bother.
Are, you got to come visit us.
Sucks.
But when you do come, plan to spend a lot of time on the freeway.
Yeah, let me. Here's all you need to know about the difference between Indiana and Los Angeles, because Drew and I have done a little traveling. You go to Indiana.
People are happy.
You pull off the side of the road. Yeah. You go into the you go into the 7-Eleven. You go into the gas station. You go, hey, could I use the bathroom? They go, sure, y'all. Go ahead. It's right back there. And you go to Los Angeles. You go, can I use it? No, you cannot. No, it's on the border. No. That's basically what Los Angeles is you getting yelled at. By people at work at gas stations, wherever they go.
At,
yeah. Here's your choice. Either they yell at you or they don't understand you. They would yell at you if they were able to make out what you were saying. So stay there in Indiana where there's nice people letting you use the bathroom.
Well, I went into the bathroom one time at a gas station, and the bathroom was closed on a weekend, so I didn't get to go to the bathroom.
Ooh.
Yeah, they closed the bathroom on a weekend.
Yeah. Well, here... like the 76 station at the bottom of my hill, it's had a out-of-order sign on it for 9 years. 8.5 years.
Soapy.
Clean
soapy. Soapy water for the windshield.
This place sucks. Yeah, just the abuse we get from the people at work at the gas station sucks. All right, Jill.
Okay.
Hey, but listen, God bless you, baby doll. And you'll be heading into the 8th grade soon.
Yeah.
You got a boyfriend?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
What's his name?
I've been going out with him for like 5 months. Yeah.
What's his name?
Tommy.
Tommy.
I like the sound.
We like
it.
Tommy.
Tommy's good people.
What's he, how do we say this?
He's an eighth grader?
Yeah, he's an eighth grader. Or is that what he said? I don't know.
No, that's okay. You're a little nervous. That's all right.
Yeah, I am really nervous because I love you guys.
All right. What junior high you go to?
I go to Washington Middle School.
Yeah, that's good. Very generic.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. How
middle of the country
Washington?
Is so good.
Well, it's just this is bad. It's not that that's good.
This is bad out here, yeah.
Really?
But it's good because everyone's so pleasant and industrious and...
Not really. They're just...
No, they are.
No, we've got a lot of mean people here.
Out here, yeah.
Like I said, just go to the gas station.
I blame the roads.
Go to the gas station, try to use the bathroom in Los Angeles. Have fun, everybody. Go use the bathroom. See how that works for you.
Yeah.
See how that's going. See how that works. Give it a try. Report back to me. Come out to Los Angeles. Go to 76 stations, even use the pot. See what happens. All right? Beth?
Yeah?
You're 17? Yeah.
Yes, sir, I am.
What's happening?
Well, first I would just like to say the man show now sucks.
That's
right. I really miss you, Adam.
Well, thank you.
Okay. So, I lost my virginity to this guy. And, I don't know, it was just all confusing and weird. And my friend was kind of seeing his friend or whatever. And then our other friend started sleeping with the guy that my friend was seeing. And then I moved clear across the country... And while I'm gone, I guess my friend who... Oh, it's so confusing.
Yeah.
What's the
my
question?
My friend ended up sleeping with the guy that I slept with.
All right, whatever. What's the question about it? It's a mess.
Should I, like, bust her out on it or anything, or should I...
Where do they all live?
Washington.
The state of Washington?
Yeah.
And you're in New York?
Yes.
All right.
You're
and
nuts.
I'm going back there in, like, 10 days.
Why?
Why?
Yeah, you moved to New York.
Just
stay out of it. Just don't go back.
You know, my wife said to me tonight, my wife said, you want to hear some gossip? And I said, no. No. Too old. I don't want it. So, here's what you learn. Let me please.
You find she couldn't resist. She told you, though.
She did. Yeah. And let me try to impart some knowledge. I have a great reputation for not, you know, working over at Kimmel. There's, you know, things going on. This guy's getting a promotion. This guy's moving on. This guy's doing this and this guy's doing that. So it's always in the work environment. Here's the thing. I got the best reputation. I don't have people like Adam. I can trust you. It's more like I got two things. A, I forget. Two, I don't care. And then, C, I don't have enough energy to really talk about people other than myself.
Is that an energy thing, or is that just you don't care about people?
I could gossip about myself.
Yeah.
I like to gossip. Once in a while, I'll do that. Did you hear what I did? Then I start giggling. No, you're going to tell me. I swear I won't. And then I make myself promise not to tell me. And then I giggle.
Just do it anyway.
Well, because I got my fingers crossed behind my back.
Of course.
Okay. Here's the whole thing. This whole part where you're confronting, you're gossiping, you're calling people out, it takes about 30 years to figure this out. And I'm giving you guys a heads up early on. there's no upside for it. Here's the whole thing about the gossip part, and I know this isn't what she's talking about exactly.
No, but you're right. If you're involved in chaos, the better alternative, get out.
Yeah, always. Just get out. Yeah. Just get out. And when somebody tells you something about somebody else, don't say anything to anybody.
You're not involved.
You want to know why? Here's the thing. You get punished for it.
Yeah.
And there's no real good side. You're never a hero for blabbing about somebody. Yeah. You know, so-and-so's getting a breast reduction. Yeah. You know, all that kind of stuff. So-and-so's dating so-and-so. So-and-so's getting fired. So-and-so's getting hired.
So what
whatever
do I tell
it is.
You?
It's just, that, nothing.
What'd she tell you?
Some work-related stuff. And I really don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
I'm not interested. And like I said, there's no, what's in it for me? That's what everyone needs to ask themselves. What's in it for you? Answer? Zero. Except for eventually, someone's going to find out, it's going to get traced back to you, and you're going to look like an a-hole.
Right.
Everyone just shut your pie hole. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Just belched up a little Indian food, Drew.
Nice.
Yeah.
I look forward to that wafting over here any minute.
It's amazing. India, and you know how I always think that the food should be basically in step with how the country's doing economically?
Yeah.
No bigger chasm between Indian food and the country. Meaning, you know.
You like the food?
No.
No?
No, no. Price. Here's what I'm saying. The average person who lives in India probably earns $9 a month. Meanwhile, you go do some Indian takeout for two, it's $63.
Wow.
It's super expensive.
That's the food the aristocrats eat.
I don't know.
That's
what
a caste society still over there.
I guess that's what it is, but I'll tell you, I don't know if you ever, you can't eat Indian because even though you're a man, ironically a man of exquisite passion, spicy food is not good for you.
Does not agree with me.
Yeah. I think you would explode with passion.
Yeah, maybe. It would divert me from my passion. It would be very disappointing.
Trying to stuff TNT into a volcano. You know what I mean? Like
it might put it already out. Right, but extinguish the whole thing.
Yeah, blow it out like an oil derrick. Like you're already bubbling over with passion. You couldn't, you know, you have to just Drew lived 1 year on just cups of flour. Just from one of those sifters. Just sifted it right into his mouth.
Was
trying to put the passion out. All right. Anyway, the point is, Indian food, delightful, expensive. Super crazy expensive. Probably the most just sort of like takeout. Like, you know, you think you go take sushi out, cost you $50-$60 sometimes. Indian food, $65.
Where the hell do you go for Indian food in your neighborhood?
No, you got to drive.
Takeout?
You got to drive around.
Wow.
Yeah. Drove over to like somewhere in Studio City or something.
Oh, my goodness.
Jessica?
Hi.
You're 17?
Yeah.
What's up?
I'm on orthotricycline low,
yeah.
And I was also diagnosed with strep throat, and they gave me the liquid penicillin.
Liquid penicillin?
Yeah. Uh-huh. And I know that, like, when you're on antibiotics like penicillin, like, the pill doesn't really work. And
well,
so...
Not typically penicillin.
Not typically penicillin?
Not typically penicillin. It's actually
okay.
Tetracyclines and what are called macrolides that typically do that, but penicillins could do that.
So. Is penicillin an antibiotic?
Yeah.
Is it like the first antibiotic?
One of them, yeah.
You just don't really, you just hear about penicillin and then you hear about antibiotics. You know,
antibiotic just means kills bacteria. That's all it means.
Yeah.
It doesn't kill viruses, it kills bacteria.
I assumed it was. You don't see the two...
Or not even kills bacteria. Just it may just withhold their growth. Sometimes it just stunts their growth.
You just don't hear the penicillin and antibiotic put together. You know what I'm saying? It's its own thing.
Yeah.
All right.
So anyway, you'll want to... typically, you finish out this packet, with a condom, and then when you start the next packet, you're okay.
Mm-hmm. That's not Chris. Has not had a solid bowel movement.
I knew you'd like that call. Yeah.
6 years, Chris.
Yeah.
Not had a solid bowel movement in 6 years.
Well, yeah, actually, yeah, not really. Actually, when I'm irregular, I have a solid too.
When you're irregular,
that's irregular. So he's, you know, as often as you have diarrhea, as often as he has a solid poo.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice. What kind of?
So you got to go to Mexico. eat some of the street tacos, even get yourself a nice case of Montezuma's solid poo. Yeah.
Do you have some sort of bowel problem, bowel disorder?
Well, yeah, I actually went to my doctor just, like a few months ago. I mean, after the 6 years, but they told me I had Crohn's disease.
Wow, that's tough.
Yeah, and they put me on some pill called prednisone, which really wouldn't like help with the diarrhea. But I mean,
well, listen, the diarrhea. If you have Crohn's, they do endoscopies on you and take biopsies and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I actually had a colonoscopy done on me.
All right, so that's it. You have Crohn's, and Crohn's is a focal inflammatory bowel disease, and prednisone is an anti-inflammatory. And if you decrease inflammation, you will decrease the diarrhea. But Crohn's is a rather devastating illness. People form fistulas, and it's just a mess. So you want to be sure it's under control.
Yeah, and talking to a guy who's had a carbuncle near the ani, I can tell you, not a lot of sympathy from the young 20-something-year-old friends either. You know what I mean? That's the double heartache of Crohn's.
Comedy.
Not only you blasting mud out your drawers all day long, you got a couple buddies laughing their ass off, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's good times.
Bad times. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Yeah! Oh, yeah! Yeah! Hey, Drew.
Hey!
You know what I'm about this close to doing, buddy?
No.
Trapping.
No! Ken, don't tempt this guy. He will do it. He will
I'm
do
a maniac.
It.
I'll swear to God. I'll drop trap.
I swear to God, he'll do it. Just don't do it.
Don't make me drop trap. I'll drop trap.
He'll do it.
I'll drop trap. I'll drop trap. I can tell you, but I have to kill you. 11:08, 8 minutes after 11. That's the other one they do. I forget about too. You know, we do the math.
Yeah.
You know, we do the math. We do the, you know, we do the
subtraction.
7:36 is 24 away from the top of the hour.
It's also just the restating. 11:08, that's 8 minutes after the hour.
That's the other good radio one. Here's the thing about radio. Anything not to formulate a thought.
And to repeat and to take time.
Yeah, because here's what radio is, basically. Radio is like, look, we have marginally talented people that got to kill 4 hours. What the hell are they going to do? Well, here's something you can do.
Repeat yourself.
Yeah, when you say 8:07, say 7 minutes after 8 after that, and then you say 53 minutes away from the top of the hour. And then you keep back selling, and you keep talking
weather.
About news and weather and weather and news, and you never run out of anything to talk about. Yeah, it's great. That's great. I went over to, there used to be a guy who used to work in a city called the Nasty Man.
Oh, yeah.
He was this bald guy who... God, did he blow. And KLSX, who does the talk out here, I don't know how they managed to stay afloat. They've done a few, I guess, Stern. They've done a few good things, but they made some horrible calls. Just like super, super retard calls. They had the Nasty Man on for a while. And I went in the studio once, and he had stuff just posted on his wall that he could look up at. And he'd go, it'd just say, like, your window to the world, you know, and he'd just be looking around and go, it's Nasty Man, it's 7:08, that's 8 minutes after 7, your window to the world, the Nasty Man, you know, like, it's just 5 or 6 catchphrases in case you ever ran out of something to say, you just look up and you just see it.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's good times.
That is good times.
Yeah, I'm sure he's working somewhere, maybe doing a little, you know, doing weddings, things like that, a little mobile DJ work. Yes. All right. All right. You know the thing about KLSX, by the way?
Yeah.
They wanted to do a show with me and Jimmy. I want to do a show. No, not going to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's genius. Yeah. Got the Nasty Man. Kimmel and Corolla? No.
Not enough talent there.
Yeah. I'll tell you, those radio programmers, genius. Boy, they're some sharp guys. Very, very sharp fellas. Super smart. You think TV guys are stupid? Think how stupid radio guys must be. You know what I'm saying, Drew?
Yeah, they're stupid enough to be in this business, which is a pretty good business.
Yeah, you know why? Because it's there's no competition. It's your only competition is from other idiots. So all you got to be is the top idiot. Right. Yeah, they didn't on this station on K-Rock. They wouldn't put me and Kimmel on together for a while. I remember them telling me the program director at this station or the general manager telling me Kimmel wasn't on air material. There's a behind-the-scenes man. Good writer, you know, good producer. Not a personality. All right. Well, there you go. And who knows? He may still be right. We don't know. You know what I'm saying?
Don't judge. Cannot judge.
Cannot judge. Shannon?
Yeah, hi.
What's happening, baby doll?
Well, I actually heard your comment about the gossip, and I do agree that it is ridiculous, but it actually does serve as a function. In pre-adolescence, like, I go to UCSD, and I'm a developmental psychology major, and I just went through all this adolescent stuff, so I just learned that actually teenagers will use gossip to kind of feel each other out, to check their beliefs with each other. So actually, it's kind of a developmental stage as you get older. So that 17-year-old that's all about the gossip, it's actually, like, part of her. Like, that's,
hold on, you know, that's, kind of, that's not pre-adolescence.
Yeah, pre-adolescence is 9, 10, 11, 12. No, Shannon, what we actually said was that it is like children to be that caught up in gossip. And then... Right. Which is the case, and that children use that sometimes as a way of sort of gaining esteem amongst their peers too.
What you guys
didn't hear is Adam and I continued our conversation off the air, and we started talking about how women use gossip as a way of getting a group together and then shunning one.
Women continue to
shun just the way, believe it or not, other primates do, and men have essentially no shunning instincts. They just don't do that.
Well, because they're using physical aggression, wouldn't you say?
I would say because the brain's wired differently.
Yeah.
It's just the way it is.
Smarter.
Right.
Shannon, you're a developmental psychology major?
Yeah.
For kids, for children?
Humans. Just the whole life spectrum, yeah.
Well, yeah, exactly. But my focus is going to be adolescence, so.
All right. Don't get into that. That's a cop-out.
Why?
Why?
Because, well, let me explain. Everything for kids is a cop-out.
What?
Entertainment for kids, cop out.
Wait, well, what do we talk about all the time? That's the time you can make a difference is
the
when
books,
people are
the
kids.
People, the kids are they, oh, no, right, no, the this children's
is,
the,
yeah,
book,
yeah, but this is, this is trying to therapeutically help
yeah,
kids so
yeah,
they don't
let
get
me, let me explain
out.
How it works. Here's some clay, Junior. Get busy.
No, I'm going to blow a butt.
What are we get? The vending machine.
Well, look at all the screwed up older adolescents we get because nobody intervened when they were young.
Listen, here's a child psychologist work. The psychologist here, draw something. Here you go. Here's some construction paper and a Marx-a-lot. Go to town, Junior. Then a kid draws a picture of somebody stabbing somebody else. Who's that? That's Daddy. And what's he doing? Stabbing Mommy. Okay, let me talk to Mommy, Daddy. He's got some anger. He feels as if the father's being aggressive. Yeah, here's some clay. It's a cop-out. I mean, you're doing the kids some good, or maybe you are, maybe you're not. But whenever you work with kids, whether it's children's books, children's entertainment, children's psychology, it's a cop-out. It is. It means, see, if you worked with adults, they tell you it was no good. The kids can't do it. They're just working with clay the whole time. Here, draw a picture.
Well, the idea is just to form attachments with them and help them
here
with
you go.
The attachment formation.
Here's some dolls. Here's some clay. Sit on that very small novelty chair. I'm going to sit on the big person chair over here, and I'll watch you. Yeah? And then once in a while, I'll get called in the court and screw up something.
It's interesting that you would have no appreciation for this. All the child psychologist is really supposed to do fundamentally is attune to the child. Just attune to them as they do whatever task it is that they need to do.
Get them a puppy.
They don't, that's the child attuned to the puppy then.
You don't need 14 years of schooling to sit there and to hand the kid some clay. That's all I'm saying. Now listen, it's a cop-out gig. It's just like writing children's books, cop out. That's all. I'm just saying. Shannon?
Yeah.
But listen, it's smart. It's a good move. It's easy.
Well, she's talking about adolescents too, by the way, not children.
Well, that's where it gets a little tougher. You're dealing with the 11-year-old that was molested and is trying to F his stepsister.
There you
that's
go.
Different.
That's
okay, now what happens if early on we detected something and realized that this 11-year-old was being molested, you know, most of their life. Wouldn't you say that child psychologist is absolutely important for finding that kind of stuff?
So
that they aren't affected for the rest of their lives?
I mean, if he can spell molested out of clay, I guess we can actually make an M out of the clay. Just call me back when you start getting into the clay and construction paper part of it.
I was a part of a consensus conference down in Atlanta that Rosalind Carter put on, of all things, and the consensus was that the earlier the intervention, the better the outcome, and that the overall consensus was that most interventions to be effective, really in terms of lifelong change, must be entertained by age 8.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, good times.
Yeah.
That ain't never going to happen. All right. Wait, someone's got a problem with my
go ahead.
Gas part.
Yeah, go ahead. No,
who else over here?
No.
Left treatment for depression. All right. Paul?
Yeah.
You're 26?
Yes, I am.
All right, yes.
The problem I have with the gas price idea is that I'm a single working father, and...
Hold on a second.
It's like become like the Phil Henry show. You say bizarre, off the wall things, and people call up and react to it.
Hold on, he's a working father. So let me get this straight. He's got a kid and a job.
And $5 will be a lot for him.
Holy Christ! We got to stop the presses. Yes, go ahead, Paul.
I got two kids.
Two kids,
and they live in Orange County. I'm 4 hours away, and I have one of those type of vehicles you're talking about.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's hard for me to get there at times to get my kids.
Why do you live 4 hours away from your kids?
Because the mother and I met in college.
Aha.
Oh, that explains the 4 hours
away. I see.
Exactly.
Okay.
No, yeah. That does not explain the 4 hours
away. I
didn't
know you guys met collegiately. That's.
And it requires 4 hours distance in order to.
Well, 4 hours.
The
minimum.
Yeah.
Minimum.
That's
the
Geneva Convention.
It goes high 17 hours away. Yeah.
Yeah.
See, you met in college. Yeah.
Yeah. We're 4 hours apart. Because I live down here in Visalia, and she's in Orange County.
And our question was, why did you choose to live?
Why do you live 4 hours from your kids? Well, we met in college. All right, that's number one. Then, that didn't answer our question. Well, we're 4 miles apart.
4 hours
because
apart.
I live, we're 4 hours apart because I live out here in Visalia, and she's 4 hours away. Hold on, Drew. Let me get this down.
You live 4 hours apart because
you live four hours apart.
You got it? Okay.
All right. Well, Paul, you've made a very compelling argument against my $5 gallon gas thing, and I'm gonna reconsider. I'm gonna reconsider it now.
Okay.
I didn't know you were 4 hours away. Mate, Drew. It takes a big man to admit when he's wrong.
Yeah.
And this Paul must have anchored this speech and debate team at that college he met his wife at.
Brown.
Because obviously yeah. Ivy League.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because this man's bulletproof. He is made of Kevlar, this cat.
I heard Cartman make a better argument today. Yeah. on a debate.
Couldn't just call me fag too. 300 times and hang up? It would have been more compelling. All right, so he disagrees. So here's all I was saying. Oh, forget it. Right. I was saying, let's charge $5 a gallon for gas, and the extra $2.60 goes right into subsidizing all mass transit, buses, everything,
including including giving people free passes.
Right, but now that Paul chose to live 4 hours away from his children,
we have to stop.
We got to stop that. We'll put that. I got some. As a matter of fact, Drew.
And by the way,
I got to stop the paperwork from going through.
Oh, good. And by the way, he decided
to stop it now.
He decided to live 4 hours apart from his children because he's 4 hours apart from his children.
4 hours from his children. So, I'm unclear whether he's divorced or
never married. College had kids, got pregnant in college. Whatever.
What do you think? No. I'd like to know. Now I got to know, Paul.
Yes.
Are you you married?
No, we never married. She did a 360 on me and started hitting me and calling me names and everything.
By the way, 360 would be her right back where she started.
You're facing the same direction. She did a 180 on you.
Yeah.
Right. All right. So she did a 180 on you and started beating on you.
Yeah.
All right. So now she's raising the kids. Right?
So you have
she's
50-50 custody.
Well, 50-50, but you're 4 hours away and...
Unfortunately.
How could that be 50-50?
Well, it's more like 70-50. Okay, Paul. All right, buddy. Take care of those kids.
Oh, my. Right, at least again, he's 26 take care of kids. That's
very articulate.
God bless him.
And puts together a very compelling argument.
Cartman, better debater.
She did a 360.
Much better.
Spencer.
Yeah?
You're 13?
Yeah.
What's happening?
Well, okay.
Girl?
Yeah, I'm a girl.
Yeah. What's going on, girly? Female girl person? Yeah.
I've never heard of another girl Spencer. But anyways,
No, it's usually a dude name, But
you like that though, Adam.
I love it. That Joey and
Sam.
And what's it?
Frankie.
Yeah, Frankie can go Butch Dyke, though.
Spencer.
That's a hot name for a chick.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Logan.
You got it going on.
What's up?
Logan?
Okay. I don't know. Is that a good
Logan's
thing?
Nice. Yeah. That's nice for a girl.
Yeah.
That's like with Spencer. There's not a lot of Logan guys out there either.
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, over the past summer, I was put into a inpatient treatment for suicidal tendencies and depression.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was put in by my dad, and my parents are divorced, and my mom basically didn't approve of it, and she pulled me out early.
Mm.
So, like, mm-hmm. my treatment wasn't finished there, basically.
Right.
And mm-hmm. so, and this sounds really bad, but the people I met there, they gave me ideas to continue, like, my bad habits.
Like what?
Like drinking and experimenting with drugs,
yeah.
becoming sexually active.
Well, Drew, what about that? I mean, don't some of those treatment places, isn't it sort of like prison? Like a guy who's maybe a marginal offender gets put in with some hardcore people and all of a sudden turn into a hardened criminal?
Yeah, and I'm not sure that has been thoroughly studied the way maybe it should have been. For instance, even in chemical dependency units, people will often find out how to use more, you know, harder
yeah,
forms
I mean,
of things.
Yeah, I would think if you're talking about people in their 30s, it would be less likely. But
a 13-year-old with a 17-year-old, and there's all sorts of discussion about whether these populations should be mixed and how you monitor if they are.
There's going to be a lot of effing going on too. There's going to be information and fluid exchange.
Yeah. So that's not so good, Spencer. Really. But why don't you get back? It's all a sign that you're really seriously still in distress. So why don't you get back to the people that were treating you, at least make contact with them?
Well, see, the problem is it was at, like, a hospital, like, kind of far away from where I live. Mm. And my mom's really against it. And right now I'm seeing a therapist, but my therapist went on leave because her daughter's, like, ill or something.
Yo.
So I'm kind of left, like, deserted. And
but this is the issue. When you feel abandoned like that, you start acting out. So you gotta get a referral to somebody to connect with while your therapist is gone. This won't work if you're just sort of drifting out there.
Okay.
All right, baby doll.
But it's good that you know this. You got some insight. That's
you
good.
You do.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're all right. You're 13.
Just don't do these things you think are such great ideas. The solutions to your problems, what you think are solutions, are the problems.
Mm-hmm.
Are certainly going to become the problems if you indulge them.
Well, I've already done them. So.
All right, you got them out of your system. I'll tell you what would be good is a colonic, right, Drew?
Yeah, that cures everything. Didn't we have Dave Navarro?
Dave Navarro in here?
Yeah.
Got a lot of what the body does is it stores toxins.
Oh, God.
Okay? You're like a locker for toxins, okay? You got to flush them out. Hey, you ever feel tired in the morning?
Yeah.
Alarm goes off, you don't feel like a... The alarm goes off, you wish you could sleep for another hour.
How'd you know?
Yeah, I know, because you've stored toxins.
Where'd I store them?
They're in your bowel. They're in your lower intestine.
Wow.
Yeah.
I gotta get that out.
Yeah, we live in a very toxic environment.
I'm going to the bathroom right now.
Yeah, you could pass a big bowl load of toxins. You ever walk into a bathroom and it's really rank?
Yes.
Those are toxins. You're smelling other people's toxins.
Oh, my God.
People got bad farts, like Jimmy.
Oh, he's full of toxins.
They just let... It's like a chemical plant exploding. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm beginning to believe you.
Yeah, actually, you start doing that math.
It's like, yeah, okay.
Maybe Navarro's got a point.
Oh, my.
Michelle?
Hey, what's up?
Hey. 20, what's going on, baby doll?
Well, actually, I had a question for Dr. Drew about polycystic ovary disease. I was diagnosed with it about a year ago, and I've been on medication for a very long time. And I was wondering, actually, if there's other alternatives than the medication that I'm on.
Are you on glucophage?
I'm taking glucophage. I'm taking spironolactone, a thyroid pill, and Yasmin birth control.
Oh,
obviously,
goodness.
The birth control is going to stay, but I'm taking all of the other medication, too, and I was wondering, I'm actually taking the serum. What was that?
Well, there's great enthusiasm in the endocrinologic community to for exactly what the way you're being treated, that there's insulin resistance in women with polycystic ovarian disease, so you're on a medication that improves
Correct.
The way insulin's utilized. And there's, you know, irregular non-ovulatory cycling, or either no cycling sometimes, so the Yasmin takes care of that. And you're excessively estrogenized or androgenized, and so the Yasmin may help with that. And then the thyroid is a common piece of the whole puzzle, too. But I'll tell you, from a sort of non-medicinal approach, the most important thing you can do is keep your weight down, manage your diet very judiciously in a diabetic-style diet, and exercise regularly.
Why?
Will do a ton.
What is that? Why?
Because that's the big problem, is they tend to get overweight, they tend to get insulin resistant, mm-hmm. and you can take care of all that with diet and exercise.
Well, you got to drink a ton of water.
And get rid of the toxins.
You got to drink
regular enemas, yes, that's it.
Flush the toxins. Your body becomes like a sponge that stores toxins. I love when people give bad, just retarded analogies. You know, they go like, you know how if you dropped a sponge into a dirty sink filled with water, how it would absorb that dirty water, and then that would be in the contents of the sponge? Yes, your body's the same. It's like, hey, Dr. Tardo, just because you came up with a lame analogy doesn't
people, you know, just love the imagery. They don't understand. They've never studied science or biochemistry. It's all just magic to them.
Yeah, it's plaque. It builds up. Plaque. At least from years.
You could shunt.
Slug it.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I like... there's this new product out there now where the doctor comes out. I think it's called like Cortislam or something.
Yeah.
But the guy starts with Dr. Cinnamon or whatever his name is. And he goes, no offense to casual dieters, but this isn't for you. I like that approach too, where they go, look, if you're just trying to lose 5 or 10 pounds, this product is not for you. Don't tell me it's not for me.
I'm a full-time professional dieter.
He's offended. They have a very strong union, too, the Casual Dieters Union, the CDU. Oh, man, it is a powerful lobby.
I bet.
Very powerful lobby, Drew. And they're like the NRA. They'll get you right out of office. You do not want to offend the casual dieters.
Nice.
All right.
I'll take a break.
Take a break?
Yeah.
All right. Want to take a little whiz?
Yes.
Let's whiz.
All right.
You know what I think? You know what my problem is?
Which one?
Well, this one.
Okay.
Drew and I urinate together as a bonding ritual, and as a release. There's a release, and there's a sexual component to it. I'm not going to lie to people. There's a definite sexual component to us urinating together. It's also. And more importantly, it's a social interaction that we have.
Yes, a social moment. And sexual. Yeah, social.
Drew tries to guess whether I ate asparagus or not.
No, there's no guesswork in there.
He's almost 100% asparagus intake.
Yeah.
Here's my point. I'm now used to urinating every 22 and a half minutes.
Yeah.
Doesn't work great when I polish off my bottle of Cabernet and pass out at 2:30 in the morning. I get up at 2:52.
By the way,
yes,
2-3 times a night.
Oh, you're wizard.
Yeah, I'm wizard. I thought it was just because I'm getting older.
I'm down to one. No, here's my point. We have gotten
our timing right.
Our kidneys
up.
Into it. Might I think if I go more than 30 minutes without urinating, I'm going to explode.
It feels like it.
I want to drive from my house to Santa Monica. I got to catheterize myself.
Could it have anything to do with the 40 cups of coffee we drink just before you go to bed and the 2 bottles of wine that you drink? No. Let's go pee. Come on.
All right. Yeah. All right. I'm going to whiz on this. All right. We'll be back. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. We got a show going on, don't we, buddy?
Yeah.
What time is it, buddy boy? I'll tell you what time it is. It's 11:28. That's 28 after the hour. That's 32.
What?
It's 11:28. That's 28 after.
28 after is 11:28?
11:28. That's 28 after 11. That's 32 to the top of the hour.
Woo.
32 minutes to midnight straight up. It's 11:28. That's 28 after the hour. 7:08. That's 8 minutes after 7. 56 degrees. Yeah, okay. Really? All righty. Let's get to the phones here, buddy. We got to help the kids.
Yeah, let's go.
That's what I'm about.
Yeah.
I'm about the kitties. Jennifer?
Yes?
You're 15.
15 years old,
15.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Uh-oh, what's the matter?
You think you're pregnant, baby doll?
Yeah. Actually, I'm sexually active.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
it was, like, back in February, like, in the beginning of February, I went to go see my friend's band, and one of my friends, my friend Josh's friend, he was from out of town, and we were both drunk, and, like, we had sex, but I have a boyfriend, he lives in Nevada, and I don't live with my parents, so my boyfriend thinks that I live with my aunt.
Why don't you live with your parents?
Because my parents live in Mexico.
And how'd you end up here?
Well, it's because, like, my parents used to live here, so, like, they moved to Mexico, and I just stayed here because I didn't want to go.
Wow.
Like, I told my boyfriend that I was staying with my aunt, but I'm not staying with my aunt anymore. I'm staying with my friend.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, and...
Hold on a second. Your parents moved back to Mexico?
Just left you here? They just left you here?
Well, it was my decision. Like, I wanted to stay. I didn't want to go. So, like,
yeah, Jennifer, you're 15. You don't make this. You can't make. You're not in a position to make decisions.
It's
like
a different
that.
Culture, and we can't judge.
It's illegal. It's abandonment. That's illegal.
We cannot judge. Different culture. Everything's the same. Why did they move back to Mexico?
I don't know.
Low self-esteem, or there. What happened?
Why did they move back there?
They just moved back there, so I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know? They didn't have any discussion? You came home one day and they left a note, gone to Mexico?
They didn't tell me. They just said, no, we're moving to Mexico. And, like, I didn't want to move. So, like, no, my aunt had custody of me, but I don't live with her no more.
Mm,
so, like, I'm living with my friend, Moy. And I had sex with him, too, but my boyfriend doesn't know.
Oh, boy. Jennifer, you got to get some help.
Right now, I think I'm pregnant, but I don't know, and I'm scared because I've had these bumps. My vagina too, and they look like pimples, and I'm afraid that that might affect, like, the baby if I'm pregnant.
Hey, Jennifer.
Yeah.
You got any brothers or sisters or anything?
Yeah, but they don't live here. They left.
They left to Mexico.
Yeah.
And you don't know how or why.
No.
Okay, and you're living with your aunt. Oh, no, you're not living with your aunt. You're living with your friend.
My boyfriend thinks I'm living with my
aunt. Right. Well, okay.
Hey, you're in Highland Park. Why don't you check out the Hillside Home for Children? Go to Hillside. It's over there on Avenue 64.
Avenue 54?
64.
64?
Yeah, Hillsides.
Well, hold on a second.
Throw yourself on their mercy.
Yeah. Jennifer, look, first off, your boyfriend is in Nevada. Forget about him. Break up with him.
Yeah, done. Well, but she needs more. She can't handle stuff like that. She needs somebody to, like, intervene here and take her off the street. Basically, she's on the street.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, listen, Jennifer, here's the whole thing. I don't want you to end up a statistic, and I don't want to pay for all your crappy kids either. So it's a win-win thing. I want you to work out well, and I want it for selfish reasons, too, but that doesn't mean I don't care about you. Stop having sex with these guys, number one. Number two, yes, you're going to have to go somewhere, and that the Hillside, we've been there, right, Drew?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
We toured Hillside?
Yes.
Yes, we did.
It's right near where she's living right now.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right, where is it? Write that down.
I told her, Avenue 64.
She doesn't know. Jennifer?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have...
64 and Meridian, I think is where it is.
Do you have a something called a pen?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
All right, so you write...
I don't know if they necessarily can take her in, but they
might
be able to refer her.
They're
going to
help her somehow.
Yeah, exactly.
They got a real nice facility over there.
Planned Parenthood is another thing to check out. Pasadena has a Planned Parenthood.
All right, Avenue 64.
Avenue 64.
Hillside.
Home for Children.
Home for Children.
Hillside.
I took a tour of the place. Great people, great facility.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, they're going to take care of you.
Okay, thank you.
Take care of yourself, baby doll. You call us up and tell us how you're doing, all right?
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Whew, Lord.
Parents just went back to Mexico.
Yeah, took off. Yeah, something's many things missing. Many pieces missing. For all we know, they may have begged Jennifer to come with them, and she just took off or something.
You're right. Okay.
You know, I was listening to an interesting story about the history of psychology today, and they were talking about Skinner and aversive conditioning, this kind of stuff, and he was talking about how animals learn in the face of aversive stimuli. That if you take an animal and put it, like, on an electrical grid, and, you know, light comes on, electricity comes through it, the animal flies off it. Mm-hmm. It takes about one time that every time that light goes on now, the animal's jumping.
Right. That's how animals are. Yeah.
That's how humans are.
Well, that's how they survive.
But that's how humans are when they're younger, when their parents strike them. When the parents hit them, you got to do that once, and the kids are like, okay, you know, you come near me again, I'm out of here. They take off.
Right. So that's what happens. There may have been a little domestic violence.
Yeah, just out, and then and they don't listen, they won't hear, they don't care, they just come out of here. I'm out.
Clint, so you're saying you should beat your kids.
No.
Hey, Clint, what's happening? 25.
Yes, Adam, you need to write a book. You're sitting on a gold mine here with great ideas and good comedy. You got to cash in on that.
Well, let me tell you what keeps me from writing a book.
Hey, you wrote a book.
I did?
Yeah, we wrote a book together, remember?
I never read that book.
Yeah, you did. I read it to you.
You read us our book?
Yes, I read it to you.
Did I enjoy it?
Yeah, you did.
Okay.
Especially
exclusively Adam.
Okay.
There's a couple of elements that stop me from writing a book. A, lazy.
Okay, I got that figured out.
Okay. B, actually not illiterate, but...
damn near.
Doesn't matter.
No, I'm not really. Realistically, I read at a solid ninth grade level.
Yeah.
But I spell it like a third grade level.
You don't spell.
And you mix the spelling and the lazy. And then third, a very unnurturing environment. I got to stare at Dr. Drew just looking at me like a grouper through the wall of an aquarium.
Yeah, but that doesn't affect your writing when you're out of here.
No, but I'm not sure what's genius and what isn't. You see, when I leave the station, oftentimes the following day, people say, I heard that rap about this or that. I was laughing my ass off. And I say, what are you talking about? And they'll say, well, whatever it was. And I don't know what they're talking about, because when you're in a room with two people that don't care.
Two.
Well, make it Ann and Anderson and whoever.
Chris.
Well, that's why I'm counting Chris and you as it actually in the room and then outside.
A little bit.
Well, sometimes you do and sometimes you don't. But the point is you don't really know if something's funny or not, because you got a couple of people just sort of sitting there going, all right, take some calls. And so it doesn't register in your head, oh, but I got to write a book. It's more like, I got to write a book called Let's Take Some Goddamn Calls. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
All right. What are you doing? What are you going to do, Clint?
Well, here's how you can get around some of that. I mean, the creativity part, I think, is already solid. You are you're a genius. We know you're a genius.
Yes.
So
yes. Thank you.
We're past that. Secondly, you can speak into a computer, and it'll just type everything out.
They talk about that, but then it's like you go, my name is Adam, and it writes down, I've entered the front door. And I've defecated on the carpet. Have they worked out those things yet?
The software is pretty good now, except and it's not. It shouldn't be your first choice, because it does take a while to set up. You got to read pages and pages so it can
understand
your dialect.
You got to program it. Yeah.
But look at it this way: even Malcolm X didn't write his own book. He told his autobiography through Alex Haley. So
that's what I got to do. Get the guy who wrote Roots to write my book.
Or Dr. Drew, or anybody who you can just kind of yell at. You know, you
yeah.
got a good rant, and you got some great ideas for taking over the world. And
I appreciate it. I appreciate it, and I thank you.
My
self-esteem is too low to write a book.
Yeah.
I realize I'm a genius, but I also have to weigh that against low self-esteem.
Adam has an aversion to his creativity being contained in something so non-ephemeral as the written word.
You're lucky.
In other words, your creativity, your creative process has to exist in time and space. It can't be contained on a page. It ruins it. It spoils it somehow.
Yeah.
Right? And you're lazy.
I'm lazy.
Yeah.
We'll move on to calls. But here's the whole thing. I was thinking about this because I went out to New York and I did this basically the stand-up gig, and I had to host this show, and I had to go open this decent-sized theater with, I don't know, 5-8 minutes of stand-up comedy, and it went pretty good, and it was fine. And I thought, when I walked off stage, I thought, no, I could do stand-up. And then I thought, I can't stand telling the same joke. I don't mind having the same thoughts, which I oftentimes do, but sometimes writing it down and just saying the same joke over
right, spoils
doesn't.
It.
Well, it's like sort of what's the essence of humor, and it sort of stopped me if you've heard this one.
Yeah.
Well, if I heard this one, there's nothing worse than someone going, hey, let me tell you a funny story about what happened today. Well, if the guy told you the same story last week, it's not so funny.
Right.
So it feels anti-humor. It feels anti-essence of humor to write it down and repeat it.
Right.
On the other hand, that's how you do it.
Right.
So the thing I like about the radio is you just keep yammering, and it just flies off into space, and you never have to actually corral it and do anything with it.
Yeah, Woody Allen was able to keep things, you know, use different mediums to keep things renewed. And
yeah.
You know what I mean?
I love Woody Allen movies, but if you watch his movies, you'll see the same joke happen over and over again.
Yeah, it's similar material, but it's new every time. New twist to it, new...
Yeah.
It's got a creative bent to it.
Yeah. Listen, the jury's still out. Kid's got some good ideas. We'll see how
he does.
Let him do another 30 movies, and we'll see. Contessa?
Hi.
You're 20?
Hi, Adam. Hi, Dr. Drew. I just want to say that pie is so much better than cake.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Preferably.
And it keeps, too.
Mm-hmm.
If you can get it to stay around without people destroying it, eating it,
yeah,
it's good for a few days.
Yeah, there's no... Yeah, pie will... listen, a pumpkin pie will last for two, three weeks in the refrigerator.
Yeah.
The only problem is it won't last
that's
for two
right.
or three
that's
weeks.
What I'm
people
about.
Love it so much, don't they? they love that pie.
Don't drop trout.
I'll drop trout.
Totally.
Yeah. Cake. Well, cake lasts too, but no one gives a rat's ass.
It gets dry.
Yeah,
it's hard.
Yeah. Okay. People just admit I'm right about the cake pie thing, and let's move forward.
Let's do it.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Well, about 3 months ago, I met this guy. It was his birthday. I guessed his sign. I found out, you know, that he's a sound guy and that he does recording for, like, Bay Area bands. And I'm a singer-songwriter. And he told me how much he'd like to work with me. And things just went from there. And we started, like, working together. And then it got romantic. And I was thinking that he was about 24, 25. And his looks are very deceiving. Come to find out, he was 29.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, really young looking for, I was amazed.
Good gravy. Yeah. All right.
And so, you know, it kind of worried me, and we talked about it, and he said that, you know, my age never seemed to, like, make a difference, and that, you know, so far it didn't seem like there was this age difference with us.
Right. He was saying AIDS.
What?
He was saying AIDS, not age.
What?
You didn't have sex with him, did you?
No, I never did.
Good.
Go all the way with him.
Saying his good. AIDS didn't make a difference.
You had oral? Did you do oral sex?
Yeah, we went to third base. And
is third base oral now?
Is it?
Isn't that?
It is now.
It didn't used to be.
It didn't used to be, but it never really had a place on the diamond.
It was when you came back to the dugout.
You might get a quick BJ on the way back from, like, the bat boy.
No, after you've rounded the bases.
Yeah, it's right.
You're
yeah. All right.
You're packing it in.
Contessa's 20. She thought the guy was 25. Turns out he's 29.
Not a big deal, Contessa.
What's the deal?
So now, after like about 3 months, I find out that, you know, I get in this little kind of tiff or whatever, and then I start talking about my feelings or whatever, and he tells me, you know what, I don't care, and if you don't like it, then just don't come over here anymore. And totally, like, decides he's going to blow me off.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I'm wondering, like, I don't know. It seems like, I guess it could have been a too good to be true kind of thing, but I really, like, we've got all these, like, ties now with, like, music and things. I was really getting things started, and now I don't
know. All right, hold on.
Whoa,
hold
how
on.
Long were you dating him for?
3 months.
All right, he was just having a good time.
Yeah, what are you, Contessa? Is this your first relationship?
Yeah, you sound green, baby. Well,
have you had a lot of chaotic relationships? One or the other. This is brand new, or you generally have chaotic relationships that don't last.
I guess it's not any more chaotic than other people's relationships. Come on.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, people say
that a lot. I'm never even sure what that means. Like when they go,
it means I know. You know, a lot when of like similar situations. I guess
Joe Jackson will do that. Like, well, we have problems like any other family.
It's, right. It's, that's a total cop out. Complete and total cop out.
Yeah, it is. And why is it relevant anyway?
That's like saying, well, I have pancreatic cancer. But just like every other, eventually somebody gets cancer. Everyone gets that. It's like, no, yeah, this is serious stuff.
Okay, you're bad. Right. I needed someone to tell me that.
Okay, so look, this guy may have just been hanging out, having a good time, seeing if he could get past third base with you.
Or who knows, or maybe he just had enough of Contessa's kind of chaos.
Yeah.
He just kind of bailed out.
Whatever it is, it was 3 months, you had some S's and giggles, and you're moving forward. Or he's moving forward.
How do I get my things back from his house? How do I talk to this guy after this?
Well, you have things that are legitimately yours. First off,
like this, what's there?
Is anything worth anything?
I guess more sentimental.
Like what?
Well,
like
I got him. I got him this like nice swivel chair for his like recording studio. And
yeah, that's his. What did you leave there?
Well, I told him I needed it back because I was just giving it to him because I didn't have room in my house.
All right.
See, this is craziness.
Yeah. It's just, you don't have it. You want to confront him.
Right. You want to stay involved. You want to keep the dance
going.
Here's
what's going on. I think he saw her as a little too young and a little too nutty.
Yeah.
Had some kicks, realized she's a little too mature and a little chaotic.
Well, but by the way,
backed off a little, and now she's coming after him.
Right. And by the way, when he backed off, it was because she was dumping on him about the age thing, and Kate coming at him, and how dare you? Right. And he went, fine, that's it, I'm out. And then when he was out, he was out.
It's been 13 minutes since we've gone number one.
Let's go.
All right, we'll be back. All right. It's Love Line now. Get a hand in and grab a knee. Don't sit down. Don't sit on your fanny, son. Grab a knee. Hey, that helmet. That's not a chair. Why is it when you're, like, teaching gym or a football, Pop Warner football coach, even the things that are just marginally entertaining are, boy, this guy, he is the Lenny Bruce of Pop Warner football coaches.
Yeah.
This guy, he's the Mort Saul of gym coaches. Sharp wit. Oh, man, is this kid fast. I love when they do that. And it's like big laughs. Look at tying's like kissing your sister. I got this one. All right, gather up, gentlemen. And I use that term loosely. Same blowhard jokes year after year, you know?
Shecky.
Yeah. That was a big deal, though, in Pop Warner football. No sitting down.
Yeah.
Hey, grab a knee. Oh, really? Look, are we resting or aren't we? Because if we're resting, I'd like to sit on my can. Number one, what's the grab a knee part? And two, I don't know, from a posture standpoint, from an orthopedic standpoint, how about this? How about we relax and I do it whatever way I'm most comfortable?
That's
sitting
right.
Indian style, two knees, one knee,
lie down,
on the
whatever.
Ass, whatever, like lie down, whatever it is. We're not running laps, are we?
Yeah.
Let's just start. It's grab a knee. And like I said, God forbid, once in a while a guy would sit on his helmet and then you'd get the, it's not a chair, which... That's the best you're going to... That's it?
That's the reason?
That's... Because it's not... And by the way, I don't know. Isn't anything you're sitting on a chair?
Right.
Technically.
It's a stool, at least.
It's something, yeah. All right. Jessica?
Uh-huh.
Once I'd like to flip it around, I'd like to start putting a chair onto my head and have a coach tell me it's not a helmet. That folding chair's not a helmet, son. Get that off your head. All right. Like maybe I was with the Russian circus or something. Jessica?
Yeah, what's up?
You're 20?
20.
20 is what it says. You're 15?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Okay, my problem is, this is with Dr. Drew. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
I'm 15 and I'm sexually active, but I cannot have intercourse. I can only have it anally. And I don't know if, I'm uncomfortable. Like, I'm about to do it with my boyfriend, and we've been together for 7 months. And every time that I'm ready to do it, I can't.
But you are doing it the other way.
Yes. That's the only way that I feel comfortable doing it.
Sure.
What do you mean comfortable?
Well, she's old-fashioned. She's an old-fashioned girl, Drew.
Because when I'm about to have an affair, I get nervous, and I'm like, no. He gets all mad. And I don't know. Well, another way, I'm just comfortable with it.
Yeah. This, by the way, when I'm in charge, you're going to be, she will be tagged.
Yeah. Caribou. Number,
cataloged.
Caribou.
Pow with the Nor plant.
Yeah.
High powered air rifle. Boom, right in the side of the arm.
Jessica, what does the way God intended it, I guess, though not at your age, what is it about that makes it anxiety provoking?
I like the part where boyfriend gets mad.
He just
why does that make you anxious? Why does it make you nervous?
All right, wait a minute. How old is your boyfriend?
He's 17.
He's 17.
Mm-hmm.
And she's 15.
Mm-hmm.
And no?
Yes.
And what?
Yes. Okay. What are you using for birth control? Though maybe you don't. What's that?
Depo-Vera.
You're on the depo shot.
Yes.
And so what is it makes
men mess up?
Yeah,
that's
good.
I'm on the side because I'm ready. Okay, I'm ready to have intercourse, but every time when it comes down to it, I can't do it.
Yeah, right. Anxiety.
What's the anxiety about? Do you know?
Excuse me?
You're nervous.
Why were you nervous?
Yeah, I'm not nervous. It's just that I'm getting into it, and like we're about to do it, and I'm like, no.
Why?
It's uncomfortable right there. Like, I don't know. I just get an uncomfortable feeling.
Were you sexually abused when you were a kid?
Well, when I was 7, I was like abused, right. Yeah, but not raped completely.
All right. Well,
who sexually abused you?
Oh, my neighbor.
Okay, well, that may be material that you've not yet worked through. And naturally enough, you're, of course, sort of reenacting all of that again by being so sexually active and sort of in a kind of peculiar way. And although when you actually get to vaginal intercourse, it gives you a panic attack and you have flashbacks.
Well, it takes a village.
Post-traumatic stress disorder.
It takes a village.
So, Jessica, please, this is all related to that event. So maybe get some treatment.
Ah, no.
It's a village.
The neighbor.
Oh, I see.
Jessica, okay, you got to get therapy. You were sexually abused. That's all. I don't know any other way to say it. It's been 6.5 minutes. We have to urinate again. We'll be back after this. All righty. Well,
there you go.
It's 12 and 30 seconds. It's 30 seconds after 12.
Wow.
That's
12
59 minutes and 30 seconds away from 1 o'clock. That means the show's over, everybody.
Huh?
God bless you all for listening. We'll take a little break. Nikki Sixx is coming in here. You may remember him from a little group called Motley Crue. He's got a new group, Brides of Destruction. He'll be in tomorrow night. So until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.